Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news, the story, behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. We have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. Right now we have with us on the line Bill Sardi. And Bill is a health consultant, but of course we're going to be talking about all sorts of things. He's a fascinating individual, and certainly I consider him a good friend. Bill, thank you so very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, now, Bill, of course, we were going to talk a little bit about this concept of prior knowledge. Certainly the administration has done everything they can to block any sort of a congressional investigation of what happened on September 11th last year. Now, certainly the Intelligence Committee is holding hearings, but, of course, this is the same committee that's consistently covered up so much of the information. We have their testimony going back to 1996. It's contained in Stephen Emerson's excellent book, American Jihad, where an American Muslim got up and testified, and it's contained in the book, that this whole Islamic movement is being funded from the United States. Well, if this violent, radical movement was being funded from the United States in 1996, and they knew it, why didn't they do something about it, funding Hamas and other terrorist organizations? Well, I think this is simply another cover-up, but the call for an independent congressional investigation, the administration is doing everything they can to block it, and if they have nothing to hide, why are they so intent upon hiding the truth from the American people?
Well, of course, we have evidence. One of the ambassadors, foreign ministers in Pakistan, was in the BBC News. This, you can still go online and find the old record of this. His last name is N-A-I-K, Naik, Naiz Naik, and he, of course, he said that he was told in July of 2001 that the United States would be at war in Afghanistan in October of that year, by October. So, you know, he had other foreign governments and so on had prior knowledge of this and knew something was up. Even one of the British foreign secretaries had predicted in days after September 11th, he had said something about watch out for biological warfare attacks. There hadn't been one yet. Why was he signaling that something like that could occur? So apparently other nations had knowledge of what was going to come about, and of course they're trying to wink at us. Usually these reports are found in the foreign news services and not in the United States news media. So somewhere in the British press, there are newspapers in Pakistan, India, and so on that you can access online, and you can find much of this information. So it's prior knowledge. Certainly foreign governments were aware. And as days go by now, we see more and more being uncovered about this prior knowledge subject. It goes way back, yes, to 1996 and even more. And, of course, we're wondering, you know, when they're saying knowledge was general and not specific, as more time goes by now, we're seeing that the knowledge was specific. It did deal with, you know, intercepted communications dealing with intent by Arab terrorists of some kind to attack using airplanes against the buildings and so on. So they did have specific knowledge. And, of course, it's Colleen Rowley, the rather brave FBI agent who has, of course, stood up the entire FBI structure and said they obstructed this, even intentfully so with her testimony. They seem to be blocking the, course, investigation of all this prior to September 11th and, of course, keeping the agents at bay so they couldn't, you know, fulfill their duty of protecting our nation, which is, of course, the calling of the FBI, CIA, and all these other agents and agencies. And, of course, we've got so many of them, billions of dollars being spent, and, of course, this is a giant failure. We still have yet to see one department chief of any of these agencies resign over this failure or anybody to get fired that we are aware of. So They've shuffled the deck chairs, but everybody's still at their command post. So it's hard to believe that a country is going to let this go without any accountability.
Well, you know, it's very interesting for the skeptic out there. They can get the September 24th issue of New Yorker magazine from last year, and there's an article that quotes a gentleman named Joseph Badansky, and Joseph Badansky is the director of the Congressional Task Force on Terrorism and Unconventional Warfare, and in that article he said, by the mid-1980s, we knew that they were going to, the Iranians were planning to hijack our planes and crash them into our buildings. Joseph Badansky wrote a book in the early 1990s, in which he made exactly the same statement, and that's quoted in Dennis Cuddy's excellent new book, Prior Knowledge, incidentally. You can get that through our ministry. That's called Prior Knowledge by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. For the real skeptic, there's an article, Insight Magazine, December 3rd of last year, that quotes an Iranian intelligence officer who defected to Bonn, Kenneth Timmerman's story, and he had called the FBI a week beforehand and said, they're going to hijack your planes and crash them into the World Trade Center. So how can they possibly say, gee, we had no idea that they would attack the World Trade Center? My goodness, it already tried one time before. They knew that the people, the radicals were being trained. In fact, I personally talked to the head of the flight training school in Norman, Oklahoma. And she said that 2 weeks before the September 11th attack, the FBI came to her and asked about Zacharias Massui, the man who's on trial today. 2 weeks beforehand, obviously they knew in Washington, D.C. they were checking his actions. He had actually flunked out of their school in Norman, Oklahoma. He was so uncoordinated. But, of course, there's no question that they knew this was going to involve planes. So why did they decide not to tell the various airlines? Why didn't they arm the pilots? Why didn't they have marshals on the planes? And why didn't they reinforce the doors? It doesn't make sense if they were trying to stop this because they knew there was going to be an attack.
Well, you know, the list goes on now. Prior warnings. We have Mubarak of Egypt. We have the Italians who said they warned us. We have the Mossad of Israel, their intelligence force. We have the Moroccan secret agent who told us. We have a U.S. Navy officer who has been in jail in Canada who was trying to warn us through mail messages that he had sent out. Colleen Rowley, the FBI agent in Minnesota, which I just mentioned. So the list goes on and on. Even the FBI says they told the CIA and the CIA told the FBI.
We're going to be back here in just a moment with Bill Sardi, and we'll invite your calls here at Radio Liberty. But right now, this is the time I want to mention some of the things that we carry. And one of them certainly are the Miracle 2 soap products. Now, we make no guarantees for them at all. We just think it's excellent soap. But many of our listeners who bought the products are really very, very pleased with them. In fact, I know Bill Sardi uses the soap. Certainly, some people say it's helped them in one way or another. You can only get it and try it yourself. But if you'd like more information on the Miracle 2 soap products, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. The soap comes as a soap, a moisturizing soap, a neutralizer, a lotion and a gel, and they seem to have many, many uses in and around our society, in and around our home, and we certainly wouldn't be without them. That's the Miracle 2 soap products, and call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR if you'd like to get either a sample introductory offer or, of course, just simply more information. And then, of course, we carry Phonixopoly, and it's a game. It's a played like Monopoly. Actually, it's 5 board games and 2 bonus games where children and even adults and even older people can learn to read phonetically, spell phonetically, and pronounce words phonetically. We certainly recommend that. We played the game ourselves. You can take a child in 16 to 20 hours. You can begin to deprogram all the harm that has been done in the government schools so that they begin to think phonetically and spell phonetically. And so that's Phonixopoly. It's designed to teach children how to read phonetically. Most of these programs are $300 or $400. This is $139.95. Phonixopoly, and it's available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR because our children are under attack today. Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Bill Sardi. And, of course, I want that last advertisement we ran mentioned a flight that went down off the East Coast, TW-800, a year ago. Actually, you can tell how old that is. Actually, of course, it went down in 1996. That was TW-800. But what's really so interesting about that is, according to Joseph Bodansky, who I referred to earlier, and in his book, Bin Laden, the Man Who Declared War and Against America, he's the director of the Congressional Task Force on Terrorism and then Conventional Warfare. And there he says, the Islamic radicals in Europe took credit for taking down that plane the day after TW-800 went down. And repeatedly, they took credit for downing the plane. Now, why hasn't that ever been mentioned by any of the media here in the United States? The Islamic radicals took credit for it. If they did, how could they possibly suppress that information in the United States unless, of course, we have almost a total blackout of the truth here in what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave? And if you'd like to check that out, you can get the book, Bin Laden, the Man Who Declared War on America. So, Bill, you know, the thing that frightens me more than anything is the average individual does not understand that the media largely is controlled, and much of what the American people hear, see, and think is actually filtered by the people who manipulate the mass media in the United States.
Well, much of this is really true. If you recall, back when over 10 years ago when we were fighting Operation Desert Storm and the Iraq, the whole buildup there, we sent 100,000 troops there. If you recall, just prior to that, we had had an incident where I believe it was the Iranians launched a civilian aircraft with a regular commercial airliner, and then the USS Vincennes, I believe, launched a missile and blasted that aircraft out of the sky and killed some civilians. And they said, well, they couldn't decipher whether there was a plane being launched against the aircraft carrier or not that they were protecting, so what they did was they just blew it out of the sky. Of course, imagine the terror and, of course, the concern among, you know, the Arab world. And I believe, really, the Lockerbie aircraft thing was retaliation by the Arab world for that. The USS Vincennes came back to, you know, a band playing. It was a great big celebration over downing a civilian airplane and killing Arab people that were, you know, of course, had nothing to do with any of these wars. And, of course, you can understand there would be some Arabs that would be, upset about all this. And I really believe the Lockerbie crash, the Pan Am flight there, was in retaliation for all that. And a lot of this is going on without ever being reported to the American people. You have to guess here, and I'm doing a little speculation, because if you don't fit the dots together, you just don't go anywhere. Of course, they call people like me, one of these conspiracy theorists. But you have to start connecting the dots a little bit. These are not just circumstances. They occur logically, and you can think about it in that way.
Well, we really have to think about it that way. We have to begin to question everything we read and see and hear. And, you know, it was 40 years ago when I got started on this, and basically it was simply two articles in the newspaper, one that came one day, and this was 1962, and it said, Premier Ben Bella marched into Algiers today at the head of his troops to the cheers of the throngs. The identical article appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle that day, and it said, Premier Ben Bella marched in today at the head of his communist troops to the cheers of the throngs, and somebody had taken two words out of the article and changed its entire meaning. Somebody was controlling my thoughts, and it was from that point on, I then began to read articles very, very carefully and began to see this constant pattern, not only in the newspapers and magazines, but on the television, in the movies, really in everything we read, we begin to realize that somebody is manipulating the thoughts of the American people, because if you can control what they think, you can control them. Well, and how important that is now as we are involved in this so-called war on terror.
Well, you can recall that the reason we were so-called went to Bosnia was, of course, they were saying there were atrocities there. There was a killing of certain populations due to ethnic cleansing and so on. And they tried to show this. Actually, CNN showed this visually one day on television. And they had these people digging, trying to find the hidden bodies where these people, had, of course, had been slaughtered and then, of course, buried. And they couldn't ever find them. But one day, right on CNN, they showed that some bones, and there was an arm bone, and it was going through a shirt. There was no skin. The bone was just an arm bone, and there was a skull, and there was no other bones of a human. But going through around the arm was a red shirt, a color-fast red shirt. Now, how in the world did the bones and the flesh all decay, and the shirt was color-fast and red? It's impossible. So I called CNN, and I said that had to be a phony thing that you aired. And they, of course, took umbrage to what I was saying and said their report was accurate, and they couldn't understand what I was talking about. It was obvious that this was a set-up thing. The picture didn't match the language in the report, and, of course, they couldn't show that there were any bodies or any atrocities there at the time. You know, one of the things that the American public never quite connects is just around the time when we have funding for military, there will be some sort of saber rattling in the world, and it will get into the news press about the week before. A couple of years ago, there was a funding going on for military funding in Congress, and just about that same time, a news report came out that the Russians had two aircraft bombers had buzzed a U.S. aircraft carrier. Wait a minute, that's such a phony report. An aircraft carrier has about 20 other boats around it. You can't get within 20 to 30 miles of an U.S. aircraft carrier without coming onto radar, having interception, and everything. How in the world could two Russian bombers buzz a U.S. aircraft carrier? Of course, it was all phony. It was all set up. And it was allowed to happen so that it would look like the Russians were still a threat. And, of course, we had to keep coming up with more money for military spending. If anybody can't see through this, of course, no one's interpreting the news for the American public. They hear this stuff and they accept it just as it comes because there is no interpretive journalism anymore. So what we're getting is simple propaganda from our side of the scoreboard.
And, of course, you know, we're lending money to the Soviet Union. We're giving them money to employ their scientists or to dismantle their chemical or biological weapons. The IMF is giving them money. The World Bank is giving them money. American corporations are investing over there. And yet we have to keep a powerful military to defend us from the wicked Russians and the wicked Chinese communists. We're also financing. But apropos of that comment you made about how these things always happen before there's going to be some old legislation or appropriations for the military, it was just about 2.5-3 weeks ago when on Sunday, why we had head of the FBI, Robert Mueller, announced that there was going to be a terrorist attack on America. And then, of course, on Tuesday, Dick Cheney came on, and it was only a matter of when this was going to occur. It's not a matter of if we're going to have terrorist attack, but when the terrorist attack's going to come. And on Wednesday, we had Donald Rumsfeld reiterate what the other two had said, and Thursday and Friday, we heard about the plan of people in scuba suits to sink the Statue of Liberty or destroy the Harlem Tunnel. And then the following week, why the president comes out and says, now we're going to have this Office of Homeland Security and $38 billion, and we want everybody to be willing to give up their freedom so we can have this, and we're going to take power away from all the other agencies and maybe even a little bit away from the elected representatives, but we've got to have an Office of Homeland Security. And I'm sitting and I'm wondering, Are the American people dumb enough not to realize that this whole thing has been scripted to frighten and terrorize the American people to go along with this?
Well, the list of cry wolf scares, I mean, the scuba divers, the dirty bombers, we had, at one time they said there were boats coming here with, you know, the Al-Qaeda terrorists turned out to have a boat. They confiscated one boat. It just had sugar cubes on it. I'm told, you know, now the food all could be contaminated, one thing or another. Now they're trying to tell us, of course, the dirty bomb, the dirty, everybody's thinking of a big mushroom cloud over New York City or something like this. Of course, the dirty nuclear bomb is simply a nuclear material that can be stolen from any doctor's office where they have an x-ray machine and then just simply tape it to a grenade and blow it up, and of course you're going to spread it. The American Physics Association came out, said, the physicists said the amount of radiation released by a dirty bomb wouldn't even be worth recording. It would be so low. So the point is that we're being scared, we're being pushed into being frightened and of course manipulated. These are nothing to be concerned about. Obviously, agencies of government are attempting to give us misinformation. Now they came out, I believe it was today, saying there's over a million sources of nuclear material where you can make a dirty bomb. Yes, there is, and the amount of radiation that could be released is so small it wouldn't be worth measuring. So,
and if it was of any amount, it would kill the person who was building the bomb. You can't
absolutely.
Just carry around any amount of radioactive material, you know, without getting destroyed yourself.
Right. The big mushroom cloud bomb would take a real, you know, a scientist or two to manage it. It would be radiation exposure all over the place. It requires, you know, lots of cooling and things like this. It's not an easy thing to just kind of like transport into the country. So people, all this nonsense about this is very difficult to understand. It just doesn't really match up to scrutiny. And, of course, it doesn't mean we don't need to be vigilant. But, of course, anytime we have the FBI telling us they can't protect us, maybe somebody ought to resign.
Okay, we're going to be back here in just a moment. And, of course, we'll welcome your calls at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But right now, I simply want to mention, of course, we carry the homeschool kit, and it will take your child from first grade to 12th grade. It's on 21 CDs, a whole program there with all the textbooks other than the Saxon math books. It has the tests that you're going to give the children. It has the books they're going to read, the texts that they're going to read. It has a complete Encyclopedia Britannica, 1911 British Encyclopedia Britannica, before this was actually taken over and they began to rewrite history and leave out all the important facts of history. There's a 1913 Noah Webster's Dictionary. The whole thing is $199.95. And, of course, you'll be introduced to the whole Robinson homeschool system that Professor Robinson used with his six children. Said he told me he spent about 15 minutes a day. The rest of it they did on their own. A wonderful, wonderful program, and we recommend it to you. And then, of course, we also are carrying a number of books. We hope you'll want to get the books on what happened as far as the attack. We have this wonderful book, Bin Laden, The Man Who Declared War on America. We have American Jihad by Stephen Emerson. And, of course, we have Dollars for Terror, written 2 years before the terrorist attack, that goes into who financed the whole Islamic terrorist movement. Saudi Arabia, our ally, Pakistan, our surrogate, and, of course, the American Central Intelligence Agency. That's Dollars for Terror. You can get it by itself or as part of the Dollars for Terror special. You need to get the information. You need to help us get it out. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR because America is under attack today. Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years. Well, Bill, I think we must have hit a nerve because the lights are all coming on, and right now we've got Fred calling in from Salinas. Hi, Fred. Do you agree, disagree? What do you like to say?
I would like your guest to comment on CNN today had a conversation between an FBI agent and a librarian, head of the Librarian Association, and they found out now that the librarians have found out that inside that USA Patriot Act, the FBI can come right in the library and look up any and check up on anybody's reading without a warrant.
Well, they say they need a warrant. They say they need to, of course, go through a court order and all this kind of thing.
Yeah, but they say that they don't need probable cause. They
That's the crux of it. The point is that in the past you needed reason for this. Now they can just kind of check and sniff.
And the librarians are going crazy over this thing. They don't want to give up that anonymity that they've always had. And
well, of course, if you wanted to slaughter someone, you'd just find out, you know, make up some phony thing about what books they read. Well, you know, look at the books that I read. I might be reading some things trying to understand the Arab world or whatever, and then someone could say, well, you're reading books about terrorists. I mean,
I read a lot of stuff that, you know, is strange to other people.
And I think really one of the most frightening things is this Padilla that they've arrested. Now, he's an American citizen, and they've got the communists all behind him. So if the communists are behind him and the ACLU is behind him, he's got to be bad, doesn't he? And so he can be transferred then to a military court with no right to a trial, can't he? Because the communists are behind him. And here's how you see how they use this communist. You see, if the communists are behind him, he's got to be bad. Well, the principle that's involved here. Now, this man obviously is a small-time crook and criminal who was recruited into the Muslim religion while in our jails. About one in six people in our prisons, I'm told, at least according to something I got from Gary Bauer, have been recruited into the radical Islamic movement in our prisons with the full help and cooperation of our government and the Saudi government. And, of course, we have to ask, why are we doing this? Well, now this guy, and we don't know what he was doing, somebody obviously talked to him, and the program was recorded, what was said was recorded, because we've infiltrated these movements throughout the world. And whether he agreed this was a good idea to build a bomb, I don't know. That is the sort of thing they did with the militia here in the United States. He infiltrated the militia. They talked to people about blowing up buildings, and some stupid people agreed that maybe we had to do something about that awful Washington, D.C., and the next thing they knew, they were in prison.
Well,
they use agent provocateurs all the time, and if they can do it to Padilla, I believe he should have a full and open trial, and the American people are entitled to know what the evidence is, but right now they have no no opportunity, and an awful lot of Americans are saying, boy, we got to protect ourselves from the terrorists, so let's take away his freedom so we can preserve our freedom.
The scariest thing that FBI agent said today, though, as he was closing, he asked how many freedoms that the people were willing to give up for their safety, and that was the last thing he had to say.
Well, I hope that he is not in favor of us giving up all of our freedom, and everybody out there should understand there are people who want a dictatorship in America, and they're quite willing to use this terrorist threat to take away our freedom.
This USA Patriot Act is really scary.
Yeah, Bill Clinton could get it through. Isn't it interesting? We got it through with a Christian president. Thanks so much for calling there, Fred.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Let's go to George calling from all places, Toronto. Hi, George. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Monteith. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Very good. I enjoy listening to you a couple hours when I get home from work.
All right, fine. Well,
I've been listening for a few years. The question I have to ask, and by the way, I am a supporter of Radio Liberty.
God bless you.
The question I like to ask is, and it bothers me, is we cannot trust the media here in North America, and yet we tend to quote articles that come out of Europe. And what bothers me is, are those media outlets not owned by the globalists as well? And how can we trust what they're putting out there?
All right,
and I'll
Bill,
take my answer off the phone.
Sir. Okay, fine. Thank you so very much, George. Okay, Bill, you heard George's remark. He's saying, look, aren't the globalists in charge of a lot of these things over in Europe?
You know, you'd think so, but of course, for instance, we have more freedom of the press in London than we do here. I mean, London has like seven major newspapers: the Mirror, the Telegraph, the Times. It goes on and on. You can go online and review those every day. So there's more competition for news there, And of course, you have foreign sources as well. Now, I understand you can see things that are planted in the media, even by the Arab side. Obviously, some of these sightings of bin Laden and so on are questionable, and some of this kind of thing. So, but when something stands out in the press and there's no denial, and you actually have names and times and places, then you can pretty much understand that some of this can be relied upon as factual information. Of course, we're always doubting everything that we read. Everything should be scrutinized, and we may at times be misled and go down the wrong trail. But I think you can put a pattern together, and I think that's the important thing, is to see the modus operandi behind a lot of this. And, of course, the cry wolf thing and all these other things that are going on, you can see some of this as just simple propaganda, and even some of the films they released with bin Laden were simply propaganda films because no one heard his actual voice and tone of voice. No one heard any of those things. This was all through interpretation, yet we accepted them as pure facts. So there's lots of holes in all these things, even though they appear to be real, you see. So we need to be very skeptical, and I agree, keep listening, because you may get some misinformation over time. We hope some truth gets through.
And, George, I would simply say that you have to just become wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. Yes, there will be false information in the European papers as well, although I think that probably we'll get much more information about what's really going on from Europe. I think one of the best ways to tell whether it's true or not is if it's being suppressed here in the United States. In other words, if this article appears in a London paper, in a French paper, in a Swiss paper, and that is totally blocked out here in the United States, you know that somebody's blocking it out for a specific purpose. All we can do is try to interpret things for you. We're not always right. You know, I would never want to be known as a prophet, because if you're wrong, you know what happens to this prophet. He gets stoned. But again, we just try to observe, and we try to bring people on to our program who we feel are as accurate as we can be. But none of us really knows what's going on, only the Lord and, of course, the representatives of the dark side. But we do have one advantage, and that is that we read some of the information that comes from the dark side and some of the Luciferian, Frank Luciferian publications, and they'll tell you who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. I mean, who they think the good guys are, who are really the bad guys, and we'll do a program on that one of these days. We do the best that we can. And we look upon these European sources. You'll find many of them listed on WorldNet Daily. And, of course, Bill sends me a lot of material every day from the European sources. We go through it, try to figure out what we can get, what we can't believe. This new book that's out in France on the fact that there was no plane that hit the Pentagon, this is obviously a disinformation piece, probably put out by the Central Intelligence Agency, because about half of it is true and half of it is false. And the fellow makes so many ridiculous statements that he discredits everything that he says that's true. And what you do is you want to get the people so confused they can't think. This is what they did with the Kennedy assassination. That's what they're doing with what happened on 9/11.
Well, certainly we may not know, but Hollywood seems to know, because they had prior knowledge somehow, because they started producing all these patriotic war flicks, all the movies with the, you know, army people in them, and you know, they just released The Sum of All Fears. This is based on a Tom Clancy novel about stealing some nuclear radioactive material from Russia, using it as a plot to blow up in the Super Bowl. Gee whiz, that came just exactly when this whole nuclear threat came between India and Pakistan. So the timing of all this is uncanny. Hollywood started producing these movies long before September 11th, so maybe we should call them and ask them what they know.
Almost like they knew what was going to happen, and these movies were here to prepare us psychologically to be manipulated. Well, let's go to John, his colleague from Syracuse. Hi, John. Question or comment?
Yeah, I just have a question for George.
Yeah.
The situation with David Shippers, George, he has taken FBI agents in Chicago, a CIA agent, and also tried to go see Hansen, by the way, who was put in jail prior to all of this going down. Where do you see these agents coming to the surface in congressional investigations that Shippers is talking about in these news briefs that he's given, saying that some of these agents were playing the market prior to 9/11 and made tremendous amounts of money, but yet nobody wants to get him in front of a congressional committee and ask these agents, where is all this coming from? And my last question is, it's tied to this one, where is Louis Freeh, the ex-director of the FBI that gave the pass down to Mueller?
Well, it really is odd that we don't hear anything from Louis Freeh. Nothing at all. This is impossible. I mean, here's a man who still should be accountable to the American people, and we hear nothing. And, of course, some real lapses occurred with, Hansen and other things on his watch. But and, of course, Ruby Ridge, all these other things, I believe, occurred on his watch. So there is concern. But you just got to wonder if there isn't a great big expose due to hit with FBI here soon. Of course, you're talking about FBI agents possibly investing in the stock market to take advantage of September 11, for instance, airline stocks, travel stocks, those kind of things that plummeted. And, of course, there's even been greater scrutiny that people in the CIA were able to do that because the CIA has direct online real-time survey ability of all the things occurring on Wall Street. So, there have been great criticism there, and most of the people running the CIA have former connections with the financial world.
And I think that, first of all, there is one FBI agent who's been indicted for feeding information to a stockbroker, and there's serious question that that stockbroker shorted some things that went down as a result of 9/11. And, of course, certainly you go to Mike Rupert's webpage, and he will point out that much of the manipulation over in Europe was tied to banks that were related to the Central Intelligence Agency. What's so interesting is all the articles in the United States to tell us, oh, there was just no relationship. People thought there was a relationship, but there really wasn't. The SEC has looked into this and said, oh, shucks, all that shorting was the most natural thing in the world. But they're talking about what went on in America, not what went on in Europe. And it's a cover because this is so obvious that there was prior knowledge. There are so many things that point to prior knowledge, specifically of what happened with Willie Brown, the mayor of San Francisco, the article in the San Francisco Chronicle, and then somebody took that article down off the webpage. Obviously, there is damage control going on. The last thing they want is for the American people to learn the truth. Hey, thanks so much for calling, John. We're going to have to take a break, and we'll be right back here on Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when, of course, we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you're out there across America listening to us, we hope that many of you will decide right now that you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us do what we do. Freedom will be lost if there are not enough people who care. Now, we have a unique opportunity to get onto a network with some 17 stations, and, of course, we're hoping to raise sufficient funds to do that. We have the funds to go ahead and syndicate our Saturday morning program, and that's going to be starting here early in July. And if we could raise some additional funds, if you're out there and a member of the Radio Liberty family and you've not already made a pledge to help us with the Saturday program and you'd like to make a pledge for so much a month for 6 months so that we know the funds will be coming in. If we have those funds available, we're going to get on 17 additional stations. Really an opportunity just to blanket a couple of states in the Midwest, areas where people need to hear the truth. And little bit by little bit, we hope we're going to get more and more information out. So if you'd like to, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Either join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or make a pledge for 6 months so we know we'll have the funds. Then, of course, we'll decide what we're going to do. But I really appreciate everybody who's contributed so that we could get on that Saturday program syndicated, and I'm really rather excited about that. Please tell others about our programs. Tell them about our website at radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com, where you can get our newsletter, you can get our archive programs, you can get some of the various articles we've read. We welcome you, we've written, we welcome you to copy anything up there, to copy our programs off the radio, to duplicate them, to copy our newsletters. Help us to get the information out across America. Because if the American people don't understand, the media is controlled and the ultimate goal, we're going to lose this country forevermore. four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon is Bill Sardi, and we have Chris calling in from Kentucky. Hi, Chris. A question or comment?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Thank you for taking my call. This subject's very crucial to the American public. You were mentioning about the Hollywood crowd at Prior Knowledge. I remember the emergency release when Alex Jones had that film. 2 months prior, before the September 11 attacks, there was a plane that was going to go right into the World Trade Center towers. I don't know if I can remember the name of the film, but it was on the Fox network at the time.
Oh, no, wait a minute. You were talking about this was the Lone Gunman. And
yeah.
It wasn't 2 months, but it was a few months beforehand. And the Lone Gunman were on this plane. It was headed towards the Twin Towers. It had been taken over by automatic control by a computer. And the Lone Gunman, just at the very last minute, gained control of the plane. And it didn't crash into the Twin Towers. It's a shame that Dick Cheney wasn't watching that. He might have suspected what was planned.
Absolutely. And this, these people that we elect are supposed to be governing the people, and it seems like they're covering up more and more every day.
Well, don't you recall on the evening of September 11th, if you were flipping channels on television, you were watching CNN, and all of a sudden CNN took you to Kabul, Afghanistan, where they showed fires in the distance of that capital of that country and said there'd been some sort of a conflict, and a leader of the Northern Alliance had been, of course, assassinated. Wait a minute. They were linking Afghanistan with the terrorism attacks in the United States before we even knew any of those people and confirmed who was on the airplane. How did CNN know?
And again, the most amazing thing was, they had no idea who had done this, and yet 3 days later they had their pictures, they knew everything about them. That is the most amazing bout of gathering of information. There's an article that was written on the 14th of September based upon information that the Spiegel in Germany had gotten from the German government, that had gotten from the FBI, so that would have taken at least a couple of days. It seems that probably at least by the 12th of September they knew the name and identity and background and training of every one of those people. How could they possibly have known that if they had not already infiltrated the entire Arab terrorist movement in America? And we're actually watching many of these people.
Well, you have Mr. Padilla, who is now, of course, incarcerated. The federal investigators couldn't come up with any evidence, and they released him into this other program where now he's under a military court. They couldn't find enough evidence against him, and I wonder if we didn't just take a double agent, slip him in there with Padilla, and then open up the subject of a dirty nuclear weapon, get Padilla to respond to it, then get him on tape and say, see, he discussed it, so therefore he had intent, jail him. So that's how this can easily be set up. And, of course, we'll never have the information.
I will never forget one evening I was in another city, and there was a man who I've always suspected of being a CIA agent, and he had asked me to do an interview on television. And his remark to me was, well, we'll never get out of this without taking up arms against the government, will we? And, the question is framed like I'm supposed to answer yes. He was obviously trying to entrap me. And I said, well, that's the most ridiculous thing, and I really seriously believe it. The worst thing we could do is to think about taking up arms. We need to convince the American people that the CIA has infiltrated our militia, our media. They've been working here all along. Now, of course, with the Patriot Act, they're going to be able to do it legally, but the average American has no idea what's really going on, that they have planted people within the media. They plant people, they plant articles all the time. They even plant movies in Hollywood.
understand there's good journalism out here if you go search for it. Go to U.S. News, usnews.com. U.S. News and World Report is reporting not only on the problems in the FBI and the CIA, but the Secret Service Agency. Remember, this was the pimping agency for Bill Clinton. They went out and found him girlfriends. They were the pimping agency for a president of the United States. They've never cleaned up that agency since. U.S. News is breaking a story. You can find it online this week. It says the agency is rife with problems, resistant to oversight. Problems range from alcohol abuse, misuse of government property, criminal offenses, and allegations of extramarital relationships by Secret Service personnel with White House employees. You've got to read the whole breaking story. Believe me, the journalists are winking at us, and in between the lines, there's some good stuff here. We don't have an executive leader in the country to take action and clean up the Secret Service.
Anything else, Chris?
Yeah, I also wanted to bring out the about approximately 8 months prior before the 9/11 attacks, there was a coin that was taken out of here. Now it's at the here in Fort Knox that was taken out, and it had to be somebody knew something was coming that day.
I'm sorry, what was taken out?
There was a coin, a gold coin or something from the 30s, and I want to know if your guest knew something about that because I have heard about that. And
no, I haven't followed that up, but you know, I actually have received a couple of inquiries online about that, and I'll have to go investigate. It's a good question. I don't know what it means yet. It leads us back to the old story of, when President Kennedy was assassinated. Kennedy, prior to his assassination, had taken, he knew that continued use of money through the Federal Reserve would lead us into national debt, so he started printing his own money around the Federal Reserve now, and he printed, I think it was $4 billion of U.S. notes, I think I have that right, and his Treasury Secretary at the time was going around these major banks that control the money supply in the United States, and of course, it didn't take long. By November of that year, of course, Kennedy was assassinated, and within the next 6 months, all those U.S. notes were quietly withdrawn from circulation. Nobody in the United States was ever told.
All right. Well, Chris, I have one. Of course, it's in plastic. I can't very well sell it, but it's one of my most treasured possessions. Okay, fine. Chris, anything else you'd like to say?
I'd also wanted the people, I also got some tapes from investigative reporter Steve Martin. He's done an excellent job with some tapes that I ordered from them, too. He said something about the death charges may have been in the World Trade Center at the collapse as well.
Well, we just don't know. We can't prove those things. But what always bothered me so much is, why was there so much dust? I mean, something had to pulverize the cement there. This thing could have collapsed, but each one of those floors would have just collapsed on the other. But it looked like something had pulverized the cement, and I really wondered what pulverized all that cement.
That's a good question.
I mean, you can drop a piece of cement, but it doesn't do that.
Well, something should come down unequally. The way the whole thing collapsed straight down is, of course, a mark of detonation, just the way we demolish old buildings. And so, of course, that's the great question. How could a building just collapse completely straight down like that without one side of it or something? It didn't make any sense whatsoever.
Okay, fine. Well, thank you so very much, Chris, and appreciate your calling. And please tell all everybody there in Kentucky they got to start listening to our program, okay?
I sure will, Stan. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, I'll tell you what, Bill, we certainly hit a tender nerve because we had calls from all sorts of people, some people we've never heard of from before. So we've got about three or four more minutes. What are the thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, certainly we need to understand. I think everyone hears this kind of thing. They may listen for a while. They may think this is just conspiracy theories. They may be interpreting this through, is my party, my political party, is this about them or against them? Or, we tend to side with who we think what side we're on. And this has nothing to do with politics and parties. This has to do with saving our country. Our Constitution was meant for us to be skeptical of our own government. And, of course, it's a protection from our own government is our Constitution, not against foreign powers so much. And, of course, we recognized in the Constitution that it's our own country that would do us in. And that's why we wrote the Constitution for balance of powers and all these kind of things. This is all being thrown aside now. We need to understand that what your children are learning in school is effectively being thrown away. The War Powers Act, all these kind of things that we've talked about, now they're going to just take all this and through the threat of terror throw the Constitution aside. We cannot do that, and of course we need to be alert to it. And of course, who's going to call our attention? We don't have leaders that will do it, and we don't have newspapers that will do it. So hopefully we can get the word out and create a grassroots movement to resist this kind of change in America.
Well, you know, that through the Internet and through programs such as ours, and then many of my other friends, and you get to know who the people are across America, certainly Noah Hutchings and Dr. David Smith, and, you know, and Stan Solomon out there in the Midwest, and Derry Brownfield, and so many people are getting the information out. You know, each one of the things that they're expert on. But, you know, I'm guardedly optimistic, more than I have been in 40 years, that when push comes to shove, there will be enough Americans who will value freedom. And this is what we need to do, is educate the American people to understand that behind everything going on are spiritual forces that are manipulating our reality and are moving us ever closer towards the New World Order and the New World Religion. Well, thank you so very much for being with us, Bill. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Bye-bye, and God bless you. Okay, fine. That was Bill Sardi. And let me just comment. We have a great new book by Dennis Cuddy. It's called Prior Knowledge. That's Prior Knowledge. And Dennis really has done a good job of summarizing there in the first chapter so much information that you will never hear elsewhere. That's Prior Knowledge, and it's available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WARM. And then what do you do for the skeptic? Well, you get him to listen to our four-tape set on the concentration camps. Or even better still, you can get the sampler, which is a 15-minute video, where you'll actually see a congressman talking about the concentration camps. Or if you really want to get the graduate course, why, give us a call and get the concentration camp special. And if you would like to get the article out of, we have 1972 of Senator Frank Church talking about the War Powers Act and how that would be used eventually in a time of a national emergency to take away our freedom, to take away our property, to take away our cars. If you'd like a copy of our last newsletter, and of course our last newsletter actually dealt with the Model Emergencies Health Powers Act, and really what that involves is most draconian information. I will be glad to send you a free copy of our newsletter. Hopefully many of you will want to get the Model Emergency Health Powers Act. We have a version October 23rd last year. So you know what they're really up to. They may have varied it in some of the states, but what they really want is the ability to force you to be vaccinated and to quarantine you or isolate you or take your property if you refuse to be vaccinated. Why would they want to vaccinate you against your will? Isn't vaccine to protect you? Or is there another reason? Well, you'll want to get our latest newsletter for information on that. And we're out of time. So let me remind you that please pray for America and pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. And may the Lord be with you.